Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible as I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
The anointing is something that comes upon a person once they receive the presence of God in their life. Everyone say the presence of God. And the anointing can be described this way from Strong's 4886. It's especially, it's to smear or rub with oil, especially to present someone as divinely authorized, appointed by God to serve as prophet, priest, or king. In other words, to consecrate to an office or religious service. The anointing comes on a person and you're able to do what you can't do without the anointing. It's like we need the grace, we need the anointing. How many of you need the grace of God? Well, we get anointed when you become born again, and we've been talking about this. We saw that there's two different kinds of anointings that happen to us. One is when you get born again. Remember, they all got born again and they were in the upper room. They'd seen Jesus resurrected from the dead. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you become saved. They saw Him. They knew He was alive. They were waiting in the upper room in a bit of fear, but waiting nonetheless and praying. And that anointing that came in them, it came in the form of the Holy Spirit to live and abide in them. He came to live. We spoke about that. I don't want to go over it all again. You can check it on our webpage. Go back. And that came upon them. That anointing we get at salvation is for me personally. That's the Holy Spirit who comes to lead me, guide me, help me overcome things, how to grow and do stuff like that. But then there was a second anointing that came on all of the apostles when they were sitting, and the followers of Christ were sitting in the upper room the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon them. Remember that? And that anointing was for service. So the anointing in me is for me personally to grow, to understand the Word of God, to get revelation, to become a better person. That helps me personally. But the anointing that comes on me is for the people out there. Remember, Peter stood up in the midst of all of this when the Holy Spirit came. He stood up and he brought a message, and he brought 3,000 people that day into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that anointing is a dimension. There are three dimensions to the anointing. The first dimension is the one that we get in ourselves. The second one is the one that comes upon us. But there is a third dimension to the anointing, and that was after Acts 4, remember, they were all in fear. And even though they Peter preached up until the book of Acts 4, he got the anointing came upon them at Pentecost in Acts 2. But in Acts 4, that's when they prayed in Acts 4, 29, 30, and said, Lord, these people are threatening us. Give us a boldness. Remember that? Grant us a boldness that we can speak, and by stretching forth our hands to heal, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And that's when the building shook. If you read it in Acts 4, the whole building shook as the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they were fearless. Everyone say fearless. Because that anointing came upon them, they became fearless. And I'm telling you, when you look at what happened, things started to change dramatically right there. Tabitha, remember the woman that died? They raised her from the dead. Peter's shadow would cross past people and they'd get healed and set free. Remember that stuff? Think about those things. Paul's apron, they would cut it in pieces and send it around the nation, and people would be getting set free from all kinds of things. I mean, think about that. Prison doors would just spring and burst open, because this anointing is a powerful anointing.
Amen. And I mean, bitten by snakes, just shake it off and nothing happened. That is what took place in the third and will take place again in this third dimensional anointing. And I truly believe where we're at right now in the world, if you look around you and if you know anything about end time, and it's not just the book of Revelation, you got to understand, it starts at Genesis and it's talking about end time right in Genesis. Amen. And then major parts of it, it's in, you'll read about it in Joseph and other places. But then Daniel, in the book of Daniel, especially 7 and 8, talks about the end time and all that kind of stuff, how knowledge is going to increase. How many of you, he said, in the end times, knowledge would increase. Amen. And what will happen is people will run to and fro. You've never seen people so busy, 2-3 jobs running. McDonald's is not even quick enough anymore. They're running left, right, and center, right? It's a microwave mentality that this world has right now. I want it and I want it now. I'm not waiting for it. And that's a dangerous thing because you can't get God instantly like that. There's a process to getting into the presence of God. Some people think it's so easy. No, it's not. It will cost you nothing, but it'll cost you everything. And I'm not talking financially, I'm talking about of yourself. And once you get into that place of worship in adoration with God, you start to get revelation. See, God is the revelator. We think, wow, that guy's got revelation upon revelation. Well, where did Paul get it? He got it all from God. God knows everything about anything and everything. How do I know that? Because he created everything. Amen. And so this third dimension, I believe we're getting back into that place right now where we're going to see miracle signs and wonders like we have not seen in the world. The Bible even says that the world is going to be filled with the knowledge of God's glory. What is God's glory? Miracles, signs and wonders, people being set free, people being born again, people getting healed. They're going to see the glory of God on a scale we have not seen yet. And I believe we can all and are going to be a part of it if we stand in faith and stay with God. But now, we need to get into God's presence. You need to learn how to get into the presence of God. Well, can I do that? Yes, we can. We can, and we need to, because it's in his presence, the Bible says, is fullness of joy. Is that correct? In God's presence is fullness of joy. Well, God would have been really mean to say, in my presence is fullness of joy when I can't get in your presence. And God would have been mean if he said, they that dwell in the shadow of the Most High God, and I can't get into his presence to dwell there, then he would have been really mean dangling a carrot before me which has got no gold at the end of it. Amen? No, we can get into the presence of God. You see, and the problem is, religion is all about me, myself, and I. That's religion. It's all about what I can do, what I've done, how I'm going to do it, what we are doing, what I, me, myself, and I. It sounds very similar to Isaiah 14, where the devil said, I'm going to exalt myself. I'm going to sit on the throne. I'm going to be like God the Most High. Remember that? Take the I out of all your speech. Because I happens to be in the middle of sin. Amen? And so religion is not about getting into the presence of God. Religion is about a set of rules and laws. And that's what happened with Jesus. They tried to trap him with the word, with the law. But he was above that because Jesus knew how to get in the presence of God. How do I know he got in the presence of God? Well, don't you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was on the mountain and the disciples were there and they saw Jesus talking with God and Moses, or was it Elijah? Come on. Remember that? They saw Jesus talking. And Peter said, let us build three altars. They don't need three altars. Moses, Elijah, David, Daniel, none of those guys need to be glorified and worshipped. Only Jesus. You need one altar. Jesus only. You don't need Jesus and Moses, you need Jesus. Amen. And so we've got to get into His glorious presence. Amen. Now, how many of you have heard, we're talking about anointing, how many have heard the word Antichrist? Anybody? Has anybody not heard the word Antichrist? Let me see your hand. All right, so we've all heard the word Antichrist. Well, what is Antichrist? Christ is not Jesus' last name, as we said before. It's His title, and it means the Anointed One. And His anointing, He's the Messiah, the Anointed One. So if He's anti-Christ, He's anti-anointing. Why do you think He hates you? Because you've got an anointing. Why does He hate the anointing? Because it's burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God is the anointing. You can stop Him in His tracks because of the anointing in your life. See, but if you don't know this stuff, you can't know it. 1 John 4:3. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. No surprise, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. There have been many Antichrists before, and there is coming one major Antichrist, and they're going to have an Antichrist world system, where you're going to have to take the mark of the beast, all of that. And I'm looking at doing some stuff on a Wednesday night, and we'll talk about that later. Verse 4, he says, you now, if you're born again, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome who? The Antichrist. What is the Antichrist? He's anti-anointing. He's anti-you, because you've got Christ in you. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. He's anti-you, because you've got Christ in you, which means you've got anointing. That's what an anti-Christ is. He's not anti-Jesus. He's anti-anointing. If Jesus didn't have the Holy Ghost, remember how God anointed, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. How God anointed him, and then he was able to destroy the works of the enemy. So he's not scared of Jesus, only Jesus with the anointing. And Jesus got the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. You see, there's power in the anointing. And he doesn't like us. That's why you get so many tests and trials and tribulations. And the world will hate you, Jesus said, because it hated me. Why did it hate him? Because the anointing. Why does it hate you? Because the anointing. Amen. Have you seen how they're trying to shut up the speech of Christians today? Because why? Because there's an anointing on the word. They don't want the word to go out. It's not about freedom of speech. It's about freedom of stopping the Christians speaking. Anyone else can speak. Anybody can say what they like. But if you speak the word of God, that's considered hate speech. You see, they're trying to label it as hate speech because it carries an anointing. Amen. Hebrews 4:11 and 12, the word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. They don't want the word out because it's got an anointing and it can slice, dice, and cut up and destroy the works of the devil. So the anointing has a purpose. Everyone said the anointing has a purpose.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts while developing Christ-like leaders